Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Surviving Life with the Vambilis, with myself, Letitia Vambili. And of course, I'm joined by the wonderful Danny V in studio as well.
Hi, Letitia Vambili. So good to be here. And wow, so exciting to speak about not eating. You know, sometimes coming out of December, you know, all the conversations was food and, you know, just the get-togethers and family. But yeah, there comes a time for seriousness. And Letitia, what is the topic?
So today's topic is about true fasting. As it relates to scripture, fasting is abstaining from food or drink for religious purposes. The abstention may be complete, partial, lengthy, short, or even intermittent. This is done in order to hear from God clearer. Scripture is clear on the fact that we need to fast. In fact, some demons only leave through fasting and prayer. This week, we ask the question whether we are still being led by God into fasts that we are participating in. Mass church fasting is so common that when we fast, are we still doing so through the leading of the Holy Spirit? Daniel at a point fasted meat for clarity from God. Esther seemed to abstain from food altogether during hers. How are we feeling the Lord leading us to fast in this season?
And that's the topic of the morning. We want to hear from you. If you are fasting, how are you doing? And then also, just what is your church encouraging in terms of fasting? But don't you change your dial, because we are deep diving with this conversation. Last week, the enemy was trying hard to have us not have this convo, but we are back. So we look forward to having the conversation. If you don't have our WhatsApp number, it's 071-364-0376. Would love to hear from you. Feel free to send us a voice note. Try to keep it at least a minute long. Thank you.
It's time for the recap. If you're just tuning in and joining us on SLWV, we're talking about true fasting today. And we already see we've got a message. This is going to be a good one. Remember, you can be sending through your WhatsApp messages to us as well on 071-364-0376. So what is a true fast? So we're definitely going to focus on food today, but I have to acknowledge what the scripture actually says. We're going to go into Isaiah 58. And Isaiah 58 is basically the Lord directing Isaiah, Prophet Isaiah, to boldly declare to the house of Jacob their sins. These sins included outwardly performances of religious practices without sincere intent, and thus acting as if they were a righteous nation when they had actually forsaken God. This probes the prophet Isaiah to speak to them in Isaiah 53 verses 3 to 7 about what an actual fast is. And he takes away the attention from food and he brings it more towards character and change of behavior. So I'm reading in the ERV translation. That's the easy to read version. I didn't even know this existed, but it's a really good one and it gets to the point. So in verse 3, they say we fast to show honor to you. Why don't you see us? We starve our bodies to show honor to you. Why don't you notice us? This is what the Israelites are saying to God. But God says, you do things to please yourselves on those special days of fasting, and you punish your servants, not your own bodies. You are hungry, but not for food. You are hungry for arguing and fighting, not for bread. You are hungry to hit people with your evil hands. This is not the way to fast. If you want your prayers to be heard in heaven, do you think I want to see people punish their bodies on those fasting days? Do you think I want people to look sad and bow their heads like dead plants? Do you think I want people to wear mourning clothes and sit in ashes to show their sadness? This is what you do on your fasting days. Do you think that this is what the Lord wants? Verse 6, I will tell you the kind of day I want. a day to set people free. I want a day that you take the burdens off others. I want a day when you set troubled people free and you take the burdens from their shoulders. I want you to share your food with the hungry. I want you to find the poor who don't have homes and bring them into your own home. When you see people who have no clothes, give them clothes. And don't hide from your relatives when they need help. So what I loved about Isaiah 58 is it was actually saying that there's a kind of fasting that we can do that pleases us. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to go into the truth of what fasting is, how we fast, and if we're still being led into our seasons of fasting.
Yes, because remember, self-pleasing is also like ticking a box, you know, and letting people see you're fasting. And I love the things that it touched on there. It's showing such a contradiction where on the one hand, you are fasting. On the other hand, you're being mean. On the other hand, you know, your day-to-day behavior is still the same. Yeah, so it's really a place for us to think a lot on. As the church, especially in 2024, where we have been fasting, we know now, generally people are fasting. So are you fasting to be the one who says, I fasted this year? Or is your fast being led by the Lord? Stay tuned, we'll be back.
He's just that good.
Beautiful song, just that good. Now, we know the Lord is good, and that was Patrick Marbury. To all the parents whose children went back to school, we are with you. And especially the ones whose children went for the first time, may God give you peace. And yeah, what a big move. You are going to be okay. And yeah, continue with your fasting, okay? No matter how stressed you feel today. Don't call the school too much. Well, we're talking about fasting. And I want to touch on the fasting versus the Daniel fast. Now, the Daniel fast is a fast. And for those of you who don't know, people will tend to eat once a day. They're eating vegetables. But they're eating, okay, normally after 5. And it's something that I personally had been doing for a long time. And a few years ago, the Lord had taken me through a period where he told me to do the Daniel fast for 40 days, which I did. And as the 40 days was arriving, you know, and I thought, hey, we're ending, the Lord said, okay, now it's time for you to fast. And I was scared because I thought, oh, wow, I just did 40 days. Now, where the Lord is saying, now you're starting, and he then adds that you're actually going to fast food. You know, in other words, you're not going to break your fast after 5. You know, you're not actually going to eat. You know, it was scary. I had to sit my wife down and tell her, and she was also worried because, yeah. It sounded weird, you know, like to really go and not eat for 40 days. But during that period of time, I really, first of all, learned that I've become comfortable with the Daniel fast. You know, it's something we do as a church. And all of us know when we say fasting, people are no longer thinking not eating at all. Most are thinking breaking after a certain amount of time. And it was so challenging to be challenged to fast in a way that I'm not used to, you know, that I've not mastered, where I would actually have to depend on God, because I did not know how I could not eat for 40 days and still be alive. So I'm putting this on the table to challenge someone that sometimes you've been doing the Daniel fasts for so long and you're so comfortable and you know that you're going to do it. In fact, you can do the Daniel fast now without the Holy Spirit because you are so used to it. So the dependence is no longer on God, but on self. And the dependence is no longer, it's not a stretch. It's an inconvenience. You know, okay, I won't eat for a couple of days, or I'll keep eating after a certain amount of time. But can I perhaps challenge you and ask you, if the Lord is not asking you that this year you do the fast that is hard for you, you do the fast that will actually require, because I did not know how I could not eat for 40 days and still be alive. So I'm putting this on the table to challenge someone that sometimes you've been doing the Daniel fasts for so long and you're so comfortable and you know that you're going to do it. In fact, you can do the Daniel fast now without the Holy Spirit because you are so used to it. So the dependence is no longer on God but on self. And the dependence is no longer, it's not a stretch. It's an inconvenience. You know, okay, I won't eat for a couple of days, or I'll keep eating after a certain amount of time. But can I perhaps challenge you and ask you, if the Lord is not asking you that this year you do the fast that is hard for you, you do the fast that will actually require you to depend on God and say, I don't know how I can go without food 4 days, 5 days, 1 week, 21 days, depending on the leading of the Lord, you know. And I like what my wife said just now, that some fasts are self-pleasing. You're doing what you know you can do. It's what you do as a church. It's almost become a ritual. But are we still challenging ourselves to the fast where you do not eat? I'm saying you don't break after five. I'm saying you go on a time where you're actually depending on God and you're cutting out food completely.
You know, I heard somewhere this past week someone saying, tell Elijah to go and fast Facebook when he's busy fighting all the false prophets that he was fasting. You know, we've reimagined fast so much, and we live in a world where we're constantly reimagining and destructuring and decolonizing everything that existed before existence. And we're sitting on these tables and we're questioning how things used to be, and we're trying to make it more relevant, if you will, for the current times. And we've done that so much as churches with fasting that it's almost like we've forgotten the original intent. You know, when the Lord speaks of falling, let's quickly speak about falling into sin. When I read the scriptures, I don't know about you, you can let me know. Eve didn't eat an apple. I don't know where the apple came from. Maybe it's for the kids' cartoons, like to signify what the Lord was busy saying. I believe that the part about Adam and Eve and eating of the tree of evil is very metaphoric, okay? It's like a parable, right? But whatever you believe, the depiction the Bible gave was one of consumption. It was one of food. When we look again with Jesus, after his 40 days in the wilderness, what does the enemy do? He comes to try to tempt him again with food. These are pivotal moments of scripture for Adam and Eve, the fathers of the faith, if you will, the original sin that we carry when we're born, and Jesus, the second Adam, the redeemer of our sins. We see them being tempted with food, or at least the depiction that's shown in scripture is food, to the point that Jesus had to say, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the Lord's mouth. There is something about the consumption of food that speaks to your spirit man. And so I believe that when the Lord gave fasting, fasting food particularly, he knew what he was doing. And we've reimagined it to fast Facebook, fast social media, fast people. All of that is great, but we have to go back to the original word and understand that if the Lord has called for a season where you abstain from something, maybe there's a reason why.
So are you going to fast food, not breaking after five, as the Lord leads, beloved?
Impact 103, come alive to the beat of life.
So we're talking about true fasting. And my question is, are we still being led to fast, led by whom? The Holy Spirit. I'm going to read Matthew 4 verses 1 to 2. It's called the temptation of Jesus. We spoke about it just now. Then the Spirit led Jesus into the desert. He was taken there to be tempted by the devil. Jesus ate nothing for 40 days and nights. After this, he was very hungry. So I'm going to break this scripture up in a few portions. Number one, then the Holy Spirit led. Okay, Jesus, the Son of God made man, or God made man, was still led into his fast.
L-E-D, led.
He did not just go in. Okay, number one. Number two, the Holy Spirit also knew that there would be a temptation that was coming for Jesus in the desert. So what does he do? He graces him for the fast and the temptation. The thing about when the Holy Spirit leads you is you can do the impossible. When Danny told me he was going into his 40-day fast, I was so scared for him as his wife. I was like, how? Like, how do you just do such a thing? How do you just stop eating? I'm telling you, this guy was braying for us. We were moving business premises at that time. He was lifting things. He was taking care of the children. And I was looking at him like, where are you getting the strength? I'm so exhausted from the move and I'm eating three times a day. How is it that you have the strength? And I could see that the fast that God calls you to, he graces you for. Now, the danger with corporate fasting, and I've seen this over and over again in different congregations, where the congregation just declares a 40-day fast, no food, people have died from that because the graces are different. Danny, by the time God called you to a 40-day fast, you'd already done 21-day fasts. Yep. I personally, as your wife, your better half, your rib, and all those nice things, cannot do a 40-day dry fast. At this point in my life, I have never done a 40-day dry fast. The only dry fast that I've been able to do was 7 days, and that was last year sometime, where the Holy Spirit said to me, Tish, the only dry fast you've ever done, obviously I've done Daniel fast for 20, I did Daniel fast for 21 days twice 1 year. That's the most I've ever fasted in a year in terms of consecutive days of fasting. I've done 21 days fast with Daniel. But the Lord last year said to me, Tish, you're going to push yourself a little bit this year. I need you to come up higher. And he said to me, I want you to do 7 days dry fast. You know, God gave me the grace because, you know, the first 3 days or so are just the worst, worst, worst days. And then last year, he particularly said to me, you're going to fast the first 3 days of every month because I want you to be prophetically aware of what I need for you in this month. Guys, there's a way that the Holy Spirit can lead you that considers health problems you know nothing about, that considers the fights that you're actually going into. And Danny, if I could interview you for a second. Was your 40-day fast for a purpose? Did you have to face a war during, before, or after your 40 days?
Yep, I had war after war. And you know what was amazing is the strength. You said earlier that I was the first one up during my fast.
Yeah.
I was the last one to sleep. I was the hardest worker. It was like the Lord just put supernatural strength on me, you know. But it was also a time of warfare, of which, because I was fasting, I went through it not being shaken, not being moved, but really being held together by the Lord. So yes, there was a fight. And there was provision of strength.
So the Holy Spirit will lead you to the fast that is equivalent to the war that you are either in or that you're about to face. That's what I've seen in scripture. We see it with Esther, guys. You know, we speak about the 40-day fast so much and we uplift the 40-day fast so much. But Esther was able to save an entire nation with 3 days. Okay, let's just call a spade a spade. It's not the number of days that matters. It's the leading and the obedience of the Holy Spirit that matters. Because the Holy Spirit knows what needs to break in the spirit realm, and sometimes the only thing that needs to break is you. God can tell you, give me 24 hours of no food and I'm going to change your life. So we kind of pat ourselves on the back as believers. Yo, I did 40, I did 20, I did 15. That's not the point. The point is, are you being led into the weaponry that is befitting for the warfare that is upon you? And that brings me to corporate fasting. When we're fasting with our churches, do you know that you still need to be led into that fast? If you are 4 weeks pregnant, you won't know, ladies. Some people go 5 months without knowing they're pregnant, but the Holy Spirit knows you're pregnant. And so when the church is corporate fasting for 21 days and they're only eating at six, you might feel the Holy Spirit saying, not you. And only in 4 weeks will you find out, oh gosh, I'm pregnant. Maybe that's why the Holy Spirit said, I shouldn't join the fast. You might know that you have low blood sugar levels, and the Holy Spirit is saying, not this time. This time, sit this one out. I think the encouragement is not to say fast until you die. The encouragement is not to say don't eat. The encouragement is to say, did you know that the Holy Spirit, yes, wants you to fast, but he is still the one that leads you into a fast. You can go into a corporate fast with your church. They break at six, and the Holy Spirit says, no, no, you, Danny, you, for what you're going through, you're not breaking at six, you're breaking at nine. And that is our encouragement to say, when you join a corporate fast, are you still going towards the Lord and saying, God, do I join this, and how do I join this?
And some of you, if you can't remember the last time you fasted, and I'm talking about no food the whole day, and now there's always people who don't have medical issues will raise up medical issues. If that's you, there's a problem here. When is the last time you went without food to pray? And I'm not asking for us, I'm asking you for you. So you can really ask the Lord, am I still being led into fasting?
You're listening to Ben Fuller, Grace of God. You're still with Letitia and Danny on Surviving Life with the Vambilis on Impact 103 as we discuss fasting and true fasting at this point of the year.
The question now is it habit or consecration? You know, are you doing it to tick a box and say, I fasted with the whole church. It was January, we fasted. Or is the Lord calling you to consecrate yourself? What does the word consecration really look like? You know, are you pulling yourself away from food? And I almost want to put like a 24-hour thing, you know? We're really saying a day. A day is 24 hours where you're not eating for 24 hours. And during that time, you're not just starving yourself, but you are seeking the Lord. Whether you're at work or you're taking time off, there are fasts where you're going to have to work, okay, and fast. But there's also fasts where you're going to have to go somewhere private or even at your home. Tell everyone, hey, I'm at work. And in that period of consecration, you really go 24 hours not eating, but maybe you're drinking liquid. So when we say dry fast, a dry fast is whether you're having liquid or not. So in a dry fast, you're not eating and you're not having liquids, you know. And when you do that, they normally say up to 3 days, not more. But the Lord needs to lead you, okay? Medically speaking, a dry fast should not be more than 3 days. Now, I want to tell you maybe a short story about the power of fasting. I was once called to do a deliverance on a certain girl. Guys, it was hectic. This demon had been there for years. It was generational. It was brought in through a family member. This person was dedicated to this demon who would take over her body for many days. Now, the Lord had told me, fast. And I automatically in my head said, oh, fast. Okay, cool.
Daniel.
I want to do a Daniel fast for 21 days. To cut a long story short, when I went back to pray for her, nothing happened. And when I'm saying I went back to pray for her, I'm not talking about 1 hour or 2 hour prayer. No, 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 no. We started praying for her at 5 p.m. The demons started manifesting, engaging. From 5 p.m. through the night, midnight, we were still praying. 3 a.m., we were still praying. 6 a.m., we were still praying. 9 a.m., when we were stopping to pray, the demon still looked at us and said, I'm still here. Where are you going, Pastor? Where are you going, Pastor? I'm still here. And I must tell you, I had to leave that deliverance with my tail between my legs. And as I drove away and I asked the Lord, Lord, what went wrong? The Lord said, I told you to fast. And I said, yeah, but I fasted. He's like, you decided to do your 21-day fast.
Shucks.
I meant for you to fast, as in do not eat. Because this thing, as we see in scripture, that there are demons who do not leave unless you fast. Now, this happened to Jesus' own disciples. They went casting out certain demons and they wouldn't go out. So they came back and asked the master, but these ones are not going out. Why is it these ones listened and the others didn't? And he said to them, those types do not leave except for prayer and fasting. Now, some of you listening right now, there are things that are generational in your bloodline, and the Lord's been calling you to fast, but you want to fast with food. You don't want to go days without eating. Now, how is the Lord supposed to break that stronghold? You could find that the Lord leads you into a fast, and this is something that happened recently. One of the last, in fact, it is the last case I had to do a deliverance on, where by the time we were meeting up with this person who needed deliverance, the Lord had already told her to go on a 40-day fast. And there were certain things already she stopped eating completely. So when we could do the fast, it happened. Why? Because she did the part of consecration. So some of you, this eating fast, you are wasting your time. If the Holy Spirit told you, do not eat, and you are eating, you are wasting your time, because the desired results he wants from you will not be there because you are eating. Now, does this say all the fasts need to be without food? No. But I'm saying, if the Lord is leading you, if you're not doing what you're comfortable doing, if you're not just ticking a box, if you're not just doing what the whole church is doing, your fast will be a waste of time. Like, stop the fast.
Can I make you laugh?
Yes.
There was a season in my life, but you were there, where I got so comfortable with fasting, Daniel, particularly, that I was like eating pap, you know? Ah. And then you came to me and you were like, Tish, what are you doing eating pap? And I said, but it's a veggie. Mealies are a veggie. And guys, Danny put me on his WhatsApp story and he asked his contact. He said, guys, Tish is eating pap for Daniel fast and she's saying that it's mealies. What do you guys say about it?
You know, this is just a very good example of when you become comfortable fasting. Guys, we want to hear from you. All your messages, we've lined them up. When we come back after the news, we're going through them one by one. Please, if you're sending us a voice note, try to keep it within a minute, because we can't play very long voice notes, but we will play aspects of it if you send us a very long voice note. We want to hear from you. I love what someone, Nolutando, said. Impact Radio is always the mouthpiece of God's voice. Thank you. I went to sleep wrestling with the same topic in my head, asking myself if I'm pleasing God with this fast. And today, this is the topic. Nolutando, thank you so much for that. We are being led and we are calling you to participate. When we come back, we go through all your messages. You are with the Vambillies, myself and Lady V.
Amen.
Surviving Life with the Vambillies is about a Christian perspective on everyday challenges surrounding work, family, and marriage.
The aim of this program is to equip you through the use of scripture with the right survival tools for life and all that it brings.
Stop the bleeding, but I didn't have supplies.
taking on my demons, and I was broken from the fight. Still in breath that I was breathing, but a part of me died. Still in nothing I was needing, but I just had to survive. But then you led me to your presence, Lord. You led me to the bind, and to know you is love you, and it was my time. And now I'm lost, I'm lost in your love. I'm here in your presence, and there's nothing better. No, I'm lost, I'm lost in your love.
Morning. I just want to come in on the issue of why food is so important. Remember, the Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. So you can substitute faith for spirit, and you can substitute sight for flesh. So what this essentially means, why God wants us to fast food, it basically means that when you indulge the flesh, the spirit man becomes weak. Because remember, man is a spirit possessed of a body and a soul. So when we focus on the flesh, people who are fleshly, that's why you know, the secular world promotes the indulgence of your flesh. As long as it pleases you, just go for it, man. The more people indulge the flesh, the more they become rebellious to the things of the spirit, and the more they become insensitive to the things of the spirit. The most important thing about a human being is the spirit, because everything, the spirit said, let there be light, and material things were created. So the real thing about us is not the flesh, but the spirit. The devil wants us to walk in the flesh, because in the flesh is powerful. But when we are in touch with our spirit. When we feed the spirit man becomes powerful, and it is the spirit man who links up with God, because God is spirit. So that is why food is very central. And God actually gave Moses this amazing revelation that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And bread is not meaning bread, referring to bread literally. You could mean fleshly things. You don't even need medicine. You don't need even need the doctor's letter to stay alive. But by the word of God, that is the essential thing that we need to stay alive. Yes, we need to take food, but primarily, you need, if God says you shall live, you shall live. It doesn't matter what material things you are deprived of. This is Rendani Tswane.
Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Oh, Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice. I will praise you, Lord, and I will sing of love come down, and as you show your face, we'll see your glory. You have my heart, and I will search for yours. Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Oh, Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for yours. Let me be to you a sacrifice. I will praise you, Lord.
I will praise you,
and I will sing of love come down.
I will sing of love come down.
And as you show your face, we'll see your glory. See your glory here. We'll see your glory here.
You were just listening to the beautiful sounds of Delirious with Lord, You Have My Heart. You should have seen us in studio just worshiping and singing along to the beautiful melody. So you were listening to a voice note earlier by Dalton, and he was talking about the importance of abstaining from food, which we touched on earlier as we were speaking about how the temptation for Adam and Eve came and was depicted in the form of food. The temptation for Jesus in the wilderness was depicted in the form of food. And he was just going in saying, this is why we have to subdue the flesh, because when we lift the flesh, we kill the spirit man. Dalton, thank you for your message. I just want to read Tandi's message, and it corroborates so much with what it is that I want to say next. Tandi says, things were different in those days. I think that when they fasted, they stopped everything in terms of work, and they went to the mountain or isolation. They didn't need strength. So to speak to Tandi's point, I've seen both. Danny, we spoke about you fasting for 40 days, no food, and you still had strength. But there is a place where God can call you into a season of isolation. That is 100% correct. And the aim with fasting should be to slow down.
Yep. And all of us should know that there comes a time when the Lord will say, you slow down, isolate yourself, especially very busy people. You busy people, the Lord might isolate you, just like you go on holiday to spend time with your family. Exactly. And you slow things down. But there's also a time when he will want you fasting while working.
Now, speaking to Tandi's point that you have to slow down to do a fast, did you know that when the Holy Spirit leads you into a fast, it's also tailor-made for what you're going through? It's tailor-made for what is being asked of you in the Spirit. So let's quickly look at the book of Daniel. If you go to the book of Daniel, there was a season where I was just studying the book of Daniel, and I actually was able to isolate three different types of Daniel fasts, if you will. The first fast was when Daniel and his friends, they were looking for the strongest men in the camp, and they had veggies for those first 10 days. So there's a 10-day Daniel fast. And at the end of the 10 days, when the guard went to check on who were the strongest men, Daniel and his friends were still the strongest men for those 10 days. And then the second type of Daniel fast is that they were then kept on that fast for three years. 3 years. Some of us screaming.
When's the last time you heard someone saying, I'm on a Daniel fast for 3 years?
Hectic, the things that the Lord can call people to. These men did the first 10 days. They were then chosen, and then they stayed on that diet for 3 years. And then the infamous or the famous Daniel fast that we know today is the 21 days where Daniel didn't even put on lotion, guys. You know what? When we speak about fasting, we speak about really submitting the flesh and crucifying the flesh so that we can hear from the Holy Spirit. And Daniel took it a step further. I think it's funny that we all focus on the food. You know, Daniel had veggies, but we still put on lotion, though. So you know, if you want to go to semantics, the man didn't even apply lotion. And when I read the book of Daniel, it speaks to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because when we're looking for the strongest men in the camp, perhaps they can't not eat. And that's to Tandi's point, to say that the Holy Spirit leads you to the fast that is suitable for what you're going through. When Esther did her 3 days fast, even her maidens fasted with her. She wasn't doing much during those 3 days because she needed to consecrate herself to the Lord. Daniel, on the other hand, was the head of the wise men. Now, what is a wise man? Someone who has to think, someone who has to search the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit helps the person to analyze situations, to be able to interpret dreams and make sense of them. This is someone that needed clarity. And a lot of the times when we go into Daniel fast, we say we need clarity. So, you know, in our churches, we'll say if you need an answer from God, if you need to see clearer from God, go on a Daniel fast because it's a fast of clarity. But if we think biologically, why would it be a fast of clarity? Well, because you're still eating something. You're still feeding your body so that your mind is not foggy and you can do what is being asked of you. Just like when we're looking for the strongest men, they can't be starving. This is to the point that the Holy Spirit leads you to a tailor-made fast. It's not about what everyone else is doing, but it's about how the Holy Spirit is leading you to fast based on what you need to do. Some of you, I saw a message earlier that said, you know, I break in the evenings. Is that okay? It's by the leading, because the Holy Spirit knows what you need. The Holy Spirit knows what is coming. The Holy Spirit knows what you're fighting. What's dangerous is to join these lengthy corporate fasts without the leading and end up in trouble. I know someone personally who passed on from a lengthy 40-day fast. Now, if that person, because it was a corporate fast, if that person has sought the Lord could have said, no, for you, just 4 days. Do you get what I mean?
Mm. I just wanted us to read a couple of messages here, right? This person says, I'm seeking a professional job offering meaningful income and with my family and friendly conditions. I'm unemployed and without any financial income right now. So I've been fasting for the past years, and even now I'm still fasting according to Matthew verse 7. But I always break the fast without hearing what the Holy Spirit says about my request. Does this mean I'm fasting without the Holy Spirit's guidance? And then she said, should I stop fasting for a job, business, or for income and just wait for God's timing? Thank you. Angela, what I would advise you is ask the Lord if you should fast and ask him to confirm it in a way that you will not be able to deny that he has told you to fast. Don't let it become just something that you do. And at the same time, I'm very cautious to say, if you've been fasting because the Lord has told you to be fasting, and you can point back to a time and what he said to you, then do not stop fasting. Because like we're seeing in Daniel's story, they were fasting for 3 years. You know, so it's not about the length of time. It's not about the fact that it's happened once or twice. It's is the Lord leading you to do it. We'll be back with more questions.
We're still reading your messages. We've got a great message here from Opa who says, but I don't understand what we call Daniel fast, because Daniel fasted 21 days until the angel came. So if the angel came on the first day, that means Daniel was going to do it for 1 day. I believe a fast is when you go without food completely and also determine how many days to fast. That's my opinion. You know, Opa, myself and Danny were like, because we've had seasons where the Lord will tell us fast and I'll tell you when to stop.
Yep.
It's not always a certain amount of days that you know from the beginning. And you make a very valid point, because what did the angel say to Daniel? The angel actually said that it was released from day one, but the prince of Persia detained the answer. So if there was no prince of Persia, the Daniel fast as we know it would have been 1 day. Very good point, Opa.
I'm actually going to share a very hectic testimony. And guys, we share real testimonies so you can relate. There's a time when Letitia and I were dealing with a very interesting situation that had occultic warfare. And the Lord told us to fast until something happens. And he tells us to stop. And we were just fasting. We don't even know how long we fasted for. It could have been 30 days. Only the Lord knows. But guess what? On the day the Lord told us to stop, that occultic camp, actually reached out to us and sent someone to tell us, listen, we're no longer going to fight you guys. We're leaving you. But the Lord had dealt with their camp so hard that someone had had a stroke. And that was what actually led them to reach out and say, look, we are stopping our attack on you. So it's that serious. You know, some of you, if you're going to fast, don't stop. Wait for the Lord to tell you. Look, it's like what the guy is saying here. What's Opa? Daniel stopped because the issue was dealt with.
Come on.
So with you also, you need to ask God, are you saying I shall fast until the issue is dealt with? But someone else earlier also asked, and I really want us to deal with this because I believe this was Alice. Hello, will you please advise me? I don't know if I'm doing it right. I eat in the morning, fast the whole day until 6 p.m. I eat because I take high blood pressure tablets. Please advise. Now, I want to be clear. Alice, you fall in a group with a lot of people listening right now that have medical conditions. Now, when you fast, you need to consult with your doctor. And if they tell you this is what you can do under your condition, do it that way. Unless the Lord specifically comes to you and maybe wants to set you free even from that illness, only then do you do. Now, I'm saying specifically because something of that high risk, you can't do blindly.
Yeah.
We know of people who've died fasting out of their own strength. You know, so we want to be very clear that the Lord can do all things. And then at the same time, we also want to caution you and really bring wisdom, because there are some people who've never even fasted a day in their lives. Or they can't even pray to kick a mosquito out. And suddenly they want to go for a 40-day fast. No. Faith goes from glory to glory. You have to grow your faith. The Lord leads you. You know, David did not go and kill Goliath first. He started with the bear, and then he had the lion, you know, and then finally the Goliath. So that is also wisdom.
And I also have to acknowledge, you know, there are people like Alice who have underlying health conditions.
Do you do? Now, I'm saying specifically because something of that high risk, you can't do blindly.
Yeah.
We know of people who've died fasting out of their own strength. You know, so we want to be very clear that the Lord can do all things. And then at the same time, we also want to caution you and really bring wisdom, because there are some people who've never even fasted a day in their lives. Or they can't even pray to kick a mosquito out. And suddenly they want to go for a 40-day fast. No. Faith goes from glory to glory. You have to grow your faith. The Lord leads you. You know, David did not go and kill Goliath first. He started with the bear. And then he had the lion. You know, and then finally the Goliath. So that is also wisdom.
And I also have to acknowledge, you know, there are people like Alice who have underlying health conditions that they are aware of. And so the way that they will fast is different. My problem with humanity is this. When we don't want to do something, we will go to fetch Mom Alice's high blood pressure.
Yes.
And we'll say, the reason I don't dry fast is because people have died. You don't fall in that category. There are people who fall in the category of, I've got diabetes, I've got high blood pressure, I've got such and such a situation. And so the Lord leads them in a different kind of fast. We need to stop using other people's ailments
conditions
as an excuse not to do what your very healthy, very young, anointed body can actually do. This is just the truth of when we seek comfort.
Because you love food. You love food and you're a glutton. And you need to admit to yourself, I struggle with gluttony. I love food and I need to fast, you know, and not use other people's conditions. There's another one. There's a lot to be said about allowing God to guide and lead us regarding our time of fasting. When the year started, I decided that I will not join in on the corporate, but January fast until I heard from God. As you would have it, on 5 days into January, I believe he did, and I went on a short dry fast for the first time in my entire life. It was tough but amazing at the same time. I didn't even think I could survive a 24-hour water or liquid fast before this. And then she adds this part, Letitia. This is for you. The pop thing, by the way, I literally had this conversation in my head last night. Then I concluded the same thing that Letitia concluded, which is that pop is ground mealies. So no pop on Daniel Fast Vela. Yes.
No pop, guys.
No pop on Daniel Fast. Pop fills up your stomach, you know. The aim is
to be deprived. That's the thing. Even when you're on the Daniel fast, the aim is not to eat so many veggies that you're rolling on your bed. And pop fills you up so quickly that it defeats the purpose of denying yourself to hear from God. So yes, guys, to clarify, I was convicted that though pop is ground mealies, it does not fall part of the Daniel fast.
Last but not least, family, I believe I want to fast a lifestyle. I want a fasting lifestyle. I want to reserve days during every week for fasting. I will do it because I love God. That comes from Sia in Arcadia, which is very, very good. A lot of people live that lifestyle, and Letitia went through that period. We'll be back after this.
Tasha Layton with How Far. We're reading your messages, and we've got a message all the way from the UK. It says, hey Danny and Tish, Talent here listening from the UK. I'm loving this conversation. It's so timely. Is there any way to access this conversation after the show so that I can send it to my church family? Yes, Talent, there is a way to access this exact show. So our on-air shows are also recorded during the conversation, the live conversation. You can find it on Impact Radio's YouTube channel. It's called Impact Online, and it should be on within the next couple of days. And then if you want the pre-recorded episode that airs on Tuesday nights between 6 and 6:30, you can find that on Surviving Life with the Vambilis on our YouTube platform as well.
Now, there's a message here as well, which was dealing with what is the power of dry fasting. Now, look, I also want us to be careful, right? And I loved how Letitia said this earlier. We don't want to idolize certain fasts, okay? It's not about idolizing a 40-day fast. It's not about idolizing the dry fast. The key thing, number one, is doing what the Lord has said you should do. Now, a lot of people don't speak about Esther's fast, right? But that's what God told Esther to do. And that's what Esther did. And in her situation, it works. I believe the power of the fast is obedience to the Holy Spirit. Because if the Holy Spirit is telling you, go on a dry fast, and you decide to just eat, you're walking in disobedience. Let's do what the Lord is telling us to do. I don't know if there's something you want to add to that, Letitia.
Actually, while we were doing the show earlier, Danny, you said, do not waste your fast. I found scripture for this. I really want to hear your guys' opinion as well. So, if we talk about fasting, we're talking about sacrificing yourself to hear from God, sacrificing yourself so that God can make his desires known to you, right? And the Lord had me thinking about Cain and Abel, guys. So this has convicted me that some of us are fasting in vain. Remember that Cain was a man who worked the soil and Abel raised flock. When it was time to sacrifice unto the Lord, they both gave from the sweat of their brow. Abel gave from the sweat of his brow, which was the flock that he was tending to as a shepherd. And then Abel gave from the sweat of his brow, which was farming. But there's one sacrifice that was favorable to God and the other sacrifice that wasn't. The scripture reference is Genesis 4, 1 to 5. You can check it out with me if you want to see what we're talking about. And the Lord likened this to fasting for me right now live on air to say there are people making the wrong sacrifice. And it's in reference, Danny, to what you said earlier, that when the Lord was asking you to fast because you were going to that deliverance, he meant no food. You went and did Daniel and you came back with your tail between your legs. The issue of obedience in a fast is more important than the fast itself. Bring God a sacrifice of fruits all you want. It will not be as favorable as when you bring a lamb. Now, those of us who know scripture know that God was seeing the future sacrifice of Christ on the cross. God was seeing the future of the Israelites who would sacrifice animals whenever they were making a covenant with him. So that infinite knowledge that God has, even the aspect of being a shepherd, that we Jesus would come as a shepherd. There's so many parables here when we read Cain and Abel. You can be a man of the soil, but please come with flock. When you're sacrificing, it doesn't necessarily mean because you're a man of the soil that the sacrifice of the fruit is what God wants in that particular time. So that speaks to the obedience aspect, guys. We do not idolize any one of the fasts, corporate, individual, Daniel, Esther. And we said earlier, even though we keep uplifting Jesus's 40-day fast, which is amazing, Esther saved her people with 3 days. 3 days. Let's not look down on the type of fast that we feel called to do, but let's rather be obedient to what God has told us to do.
There's something about sacrifice and the price it cost you. You know, there's a lady in scripture that we all talk about who came and washed Jesus' feet. And the wage of the oil was literally a whole year's wage, you know. Mm-hmm. And just her washing his feet with the hair was significant. And then Jesus explained it in a way that made sense, that this person is crying and this is the level of forgiveness they are bringing on the table versus someone who's just got a small thing on the side. Which one means more? So we're saying this to say you might be doing a 40-day fast. in disobedience. And someone like Mama Alice, who messaged now, who's saying, I've got high blood pressure. I can only do 6 to 6.
Mm.
You might think, no, that one is not good enough.
It's not powerful.
It's not powerful. It's a short time. But because this is someone who's sickly and is still going in to please the Lord can honor that fast more than someone who out of pride wants to show you, I can do 21 days without blinking. I do Daniel fasts every week when I want to. Beloved, let's watch the pride. Let's go into obedience and dependence on the Lord. We'll be back after this. Send us your questions, 071-364-0376. And also your voice notes if you've got a comment you want to add on the topic.
We have a question here that came from Nonopa. She wants to know, what are our views on Matthew 6 verses 16? She says, I think we misinterpret this verse. Some people say you shouldn't tell anyone at all, not even your spouse, when you're fasting. Danny?
All right, so let's read what is that scripture addressing, okay? And the key word here is hypocrites. It says this, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. Look, a hypocrite is someone whose intent already is wrong. They are disfiguring their face according to their scripture because they want everyone to know that they are fasting. And the Bible is saying, since your aim is for everyone else to know you are fasting, that's your reward. And this can also imply to people in corporate fast, where you're no longer fasting for God, you're fasting so the whole church knows you're fasting. So at every point you're like, yeah, brother, I'm also fasting. You're a hypocrite and that's your reward. And then it goes on to say, but when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. Now, really, the focus here is the intent. Are you using fast to get attention? Do you want everyone to know that you are fasting? Now, Letitia is going to tackle the second part of this.
Yes, so Nonopa, you used Matthew 6 verse 16 to say that some people even say you mustn't tell your spouse. You know what? This is my opinion. I sound like Paul now. This is my opinion. It's not God, you know? Is that we as believers, we love to take isolated verses and make it an entire doctrine. The danger of that is that all of the Bible is connected. So sometimes we come up with rituals and ways of living that we think please God based on a verse, and we don't consider the entirety of scripture. So if someone says to you, Matthew 6 verse 16 means don't even tell your spouse you are fasting, what about the scripture in the Bible that says husband and wife do not keep your bodies from each other unless you so decide for a season of fasting? That scripture literally says you can talk about it as husband and wife and say we are abstaining from intimacy for a season of fasting. So that's not necessarily true to say you don't even tell your spouse. But again, we take for granted this generation, this dispensation, we take for granted the leading of the Holy Spirit. There is a husband out there whom the Lord has told, fast, do not tell your wife, because what you're fighting is in her. What if that's the season in your marriage where one of you is infiltrated and the Lord says, I need you to go on a secret fast? Let me ask you, Nonopa, did Esther go and tell the king she was fasting? No, it's not. We have to go with the leading of the Holy Spirit. It's not about our personal views and perspectives on how we should fast. When you're called into a season of fasting, sometimes like Jesus, you're called to a mountain where no one sees you. But sometimes like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you do it together.
Now, we have to also, when people quote scriptures, go and read the scripture and see the intent. You know, because here, of course, Jesus was saying, don't fast like hypocrites. So we must know the intent here is to address how hypocrites fast so that you make sure yourself that you don't unknowingly or knowingly find yourself in that category. Stay tuned. We'll be back after this.
Thank you so much if you've joined us on today's episode of Surviving Life with the Vambilis on Impact 103. We're closing off the fasting topic. We just got a message that I actually want to touch on. And there's a part of the message that really touched me and I want to bring it to the fore. Fasting doesn't change God's ability to hear you. We're not fasting to change God. We are fasting so we can hear God. In everyday life, between the hustle and bustle and everything we deal with, sometimes we don't position ourselves to hear from the Father. There's scripture that says, those that diligently seek me. Fasting is a season where you are seeking God. God always hears, but sometimes we're not postured to hear him.
Another message that came in here. Hi there, when I try to fast for whatever number of days for an answer from the Lord, I almost always get my breakthrough on the first day. Should I continue with the rest of the days? I believe yes. If you committed to just say, look, I want to fast. Remember, fasting should not just be for the answered prayer. It must also be to consecrate and spend time with the Lord. So if the Lord answers you and you're like, oh, I got my answer, God, I'm out. What about you spending time in the presence of the Lord?
Yeah.
You know, fasting to please the Lord and not just to get our answer. It's like going to spend time on holiday with your family.
Yes, I was going to say that actually yesterday my daughter did this and it really touched me. They were watching a cartoon. If you're in the Tshwane region, it rained cats and dogs last night. And I was in my room and I was watching the rain through the window. And I was saying that's my TV because I was really enjoying watching the rain. And so my daughter comes in. And she says, hey, mom. And I said, hey. She said, I want to sit with you. And I said, oh, really? You've got your cartoon. It was one of her favorite cartoons were on. And she's like, no, I'm here to watch the TV, the rain with you. Because I told them that the window was my TV. And what it felt like to me was, oh, this girl, she just sacrificed her show. And I know it's her favorite show. But she's just come to sit with me to watch the rain. You know, we have such a transactional relationship with God sometimes where we come to him for what we want and we go. If you had a child like that who was like, mom, I want 10 rand, and you give the 10 rand, and before you can even say, how was your day, they turn around and rush off. Fasting, even though we go to find answers from God, I believe that it's more about spending consecrated time that you've decided to put aside for God. I think that to have that kind of relationship where, because it breaks through on the first day, you leave, it touches on the aspect of relationship. Our walk with God is not religion, it's most relationship. And so if we have relationship, we make time for those people. And fasting is one of the ways that we make time with God, not just prayer before bed.
Another thing I think that is also important, guys, fasting sin. Making sure, and this goes back to the open
Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58 verses 3-7.
Now, I love that scripture that, you know, somehow behavior must be tied to this as well. You know, let's try to live a lifestyle that is pleasing to God. A lot of churches are not speaking against sin anymore. And which is wrong. You know, if you in a church where, you know, it's all about what God will do for you and all of that, we must remember God hates sin. God hates pride. God hates unforgiveness. In fact, what the Lord is saying to us, we must forgive others like he forgives us. You know, so don't fast and you're living in unforgiveness.
Fasting is to change you.
There we go.
You're supposed to come out of that fast a new person. Because if you go and read Isaiah 58, the Lord was upset at the Israelites for performative fasting. And God was saying a true fast is when you're kind to your neighbor. A true fast is when you clothe the homeless. So the aim of our fast at the end of it must be that we are transformed, not just that we get an answer. from God.
Beloved, we are done for today. We love you. Thank you for participating. Even Mary, thank you for your message. May God bless you all. Tabuko Sitole, we see you. May God bless you all. And then again, where can they get to see everything if they want a repetition of this, Letitia?
If you want today's exact show as it was recorded live on air, you need to go to Impact Radio's YouTube page. It's called Impact Online. And if you want last night's pre-recorded show, you can go on Surviving Life with the Vambilis on YouTube as well. And we are at the Vambilis on all social media platforms.
Goodbye.